الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. So this is the first talk regarding the shama'il or the characteristics of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, the khutbah, the Jum'ah khutbah that we had today was like an introduction to the subject. And we covered in it part of the outline that is in your hands, that and that more copies will be made so that everybody will have a copy of the outline of this talk. The khutbah included and then this and the rest of the talks that we'll be covering inshallah tomorrow. So our hope is that we will be able to depict as complete a picture as possible of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we would have a sort of better acquaintance with him. And so that, inshallah, when we say that he is our example and that we need to follow this example, we should at least know what is this example that we are claiming to follow or that we are wishing to follow. The outline that I have, I collected from various chapters that are mainly in two books on Shama'il, and there are many books that have been written by the ulama on the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The books that I'll be using as the main references are two, and one of them is written by Imam al-Baghawi, one of the great scholars of hadith of the past, and the other, or compiled by al-Baghawi, and the other is compiled by at-Tirmidhi. And at-Tirmidhi's book is more famous, and I think there is an available translation in English that was printed in Pakistan many years ago, so you can find that book. But that edition, the translation is not very good, and also it does not discern or distinguish between the authentic and unauthentic narrations. The book that I'll be using as the main reference is the same, the Shama'il of the Prophet ﷺ by at-Tirmidhi, but it has been verified by al-Albani rahimahullah, and he tells which reports are authentic and which are not. So we can skip over the weak ones and limit ourselves to what is authentic. The other book, and this is the book which is not too big, as you can see. The other one by al-Baghawi, it is two volumes, and it has much more information, and a lot of what's in it is authentic. Now, both of them, the majority of the narrations are authentic. There are other books which are even bigger about the Shama'il, some of them 5 and 6 volumes, but you find that when the scholars get into so much details in the Shama'il, they will have eventually to get into other matters concerning the character of the Prophet ﷺ, such as the way that he practiced Islam as a whole, which in other words is how he performed Hajj. And I have this mentioned briefly in the outline, how he performed Hajj. And if we go over Hajj, we actually in this same masjid we had a discussion of the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. So many scholars do not include this with the Shama'il, but you can include it and say this is how he practiced Hajj. So we want to learn how he did this and how he prayed, how he prayed at night, how he did this, how he did that. So we include all of his acts of worship. In other words, we will be including all of his sunnah eventually. But this is, we will not be doing that much, of course, and there is no time for such a thing today and tomorrow. So what we will be doing rather is limit ourselves as much as possible to the special characteristics of the Prophet ﷺ as a person, as a human being, and we will spill in the process over some of his qualities as a Prophet ﷺ, but the intention will not be to get into detailed discussion of his sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this outline we, and also the other thing is, having taken created the outline by going over the different subjects in these books and trying to come out with some logical division of the different aspects of the Shama'il of the Prophet ﷺ, imposed it on me that the material that we'll be covering is not in sequence with the outline, or vice versa, or what the outline is not in sequence with what's in the books. The way I made the outline is to cover, there's an introduction. And as I said, most of the introduction has been covered in the khutbah, and we will probably get into some of its sides in the other talks. The second subject is the Prophet's creational characteristics, which means how he looked as a human being. How tall, how heavy, how he walked, etc. And the third is the Prophet's personal behavior, and maybe how he walked would be probably also under the personal behavior, how he slept, how he ate, how he dealt with his wives as a person, and what he liked to eat, what he did not like to eat, and so on. And then the fourth subject is the Prophet's character and manners, and this is sometimes covered as a separate subject by itself, the character or the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm sure you have heard a number of talks about this, which are usually titled as لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and you are indeed of great character. And then the next one is the Prophet's worship, and as I said, we will not get too deep into this, but I just included it for completeness. And then the Prophet's special merits and miracles. There are sometimes books which only deal with this side of the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then finally we go to the Prophet's death sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this goes over like seven parts or seven sections, and we will try inshallah to cover a section or more in each one of the talks of today and tomorrow. But as I said, because I collected or compiled the outline by going through the book and seeing which subjects come under which heading, therefore, so when we go over the book now, the book of Ash-Shamail by Tirmidhi, which I said will be our main reference. We may read something that goes under number 3, for example. I try as much as possible to concentrate on one topic at a time, but still we may read something that belongs to a different topic, and in that case we will mark it. Or if you, when you have the handout, inshallah the brother want to make copies, then you can mark it on your sheet that, you know, certain hadith that you probably hear and you would like to remember goes under number 3, for example, or under number 4, and so on. So now we go to the number 2, even though we will probably go back to some parts of number 1, as I said. And number 2 is about the creational characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way to understand the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is by hearing how the people described him, how his contemporaries described him. And by his contemporaries we mean the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So basically all what we'll be reading counts as hadiths, as authentic narration, as narrations, and we will go over only the authentic ones of them. So the first is by Anas radiallahu anhu, and you will see that many of the narrations regarding the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, and you will learn why. Anas will say why he knows so much about the personal life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I will not tell you now, because we will get to it at a later point. Anas radiallahu anhu said كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بالطويل البائن ولا بالقصير ولا بالأبيض الأمهق ولا بالآدم, which means رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was neither excessively tall nor short. So he was of middle height, middle build, and he was neither very light in color, very fair in color, nor too dark. ولا بالجعد القطط ولا بالصبط, and his hair was neither too curly nor too straight. بعثه الله تعالى على رأس 40 سنة. Allah sent him, which means as a messenger, at the end of 40 years, which means when he was 40 years old. فأقام بمكة 10 سنين. So he stayed in Mecca 10 years. وفي المدينة 10 سنين. And in Medina 10 years. وتوفاه الله على رأس 60 أو 60 سنة. And Allah took him away, which means made him or caused him to die at the end of 60 years. وليس في رأسه ولحيته 20 شعرة بيضاء. And at that time there was not in his head or his beard even 20 white hairs or gray hairs. So this report, which is authentic from Anas radiallahu anhu, and it's also recorded in addition to At-Tirmidhi's Shama'il. And by the way, this Shama'il of Tirmidhi is not the same as Jami' of At-Tirmidhi. It's not the same as, because you know At-Tirmidhi has one of the compilations of Hadith. And we know that there are the four, and after the Bukhari and Muslim, the four that come after are Abu Dawood, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. So Tirmidhi's compilation of hadith is different from the Shama'il of Tirmidhi. They are not the same, even though there could be some narrations here that you would find them in the compilation of Jama'at Sahih by Tirmidhi, but not necessarily. And some of what you will find here you will find also in other books of hadith. So this particular narration is also recorded by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Here some questions may come up. First, why he said that he remained in Mecca 10 years when we know that he remained 13 years, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the answer that the ulama give to this is that probably he just dropped the fraction, so he rounded it. In other words, he rounded the 13 to 10, and similarly for the 60, he lived more than 60, but he rounded the 63 or so to 60, because we know more accurately that he stayed in Mecca 13, in Al-Madina 10, and he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was 63 years old. And in regard to the white or grey hair in his head and beard, we will see more narrations that say differently from what we just heard. Also, Anas radiallahu anhu reported, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ربعة. He was middle in height, medium in height, neither too tall nor too short, like the first hadith. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ربعة ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير, neither tall nor short. حسن الجسم, his body looked good, which means well proportioned. It doesn't mean that he had bulging muscles and chest like the people who spend 5 hours every day on the bench wasting their time to look good to others and not increasing by that neither in health nor in iman. So he was not like that. He was well proportioned, and we know, we'll see that he was the strongest of men, but that doesn't mean that he has to have presentable large muscles coming out from all parts of his body. حسن الجسم وكان شعره ليس بجعد ولا صبت. His hair was neither curly nor straight. أسمر اللون, he was dark. أسمر means dark in color, but not too dark. What's the English equivalent for it? In Arabic we say humti, like the color of grain, grainy in color. Wheatish? Wheatish, something like that. أسمر لوني إذا مشى يتكفأ, which means when he walks, when he walked, he would move from side to side. So he would like a boat which moves or tilts one way and then the other way, one way and then the other way. إذا مشى يتكفأ. And there will be more description of his walking. So this hadith describes his look and also some of his actions, personal actions, how he walked. Also, now Al-Bara' bin Azib radiallahu anhu reported, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا مربوعا بعيد ما بين المنكبين. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was a middle-sized man, in again similar to the previous ahadith. بعيد ما بين المنكبين, which means the distance between his shoulders is wide. He has wide shoulders. عظيم الجمة. عظيم الجمة means that his hair was great. He had a lot of hair. And الجمة هو ما سقط من شعر الرأس ووصل إلى المنكبين. It means the hair that reaches the shoulders. So his shoulder was, and we know this, that sometimes his hair reached his shoulders. إلى شحمة أذنيه عليه حلة حمراء. Reaching عظيم الجمة إلى شحمة أذنيه, to the earlobes, to his earlobes, which means his hair comes down to the earlobes. عليه حلة حمراء ما رأيت شيئا قط أحسن منها. He said, and it seems that he's describing one particular time when he saw him and his hair was long and he was wearing a white overgarment, hulla, or cloak, ما رأيت شيئا قط أحسن منها, and nothing was, I have never seen anything that looked better than it, that red garment or cloak. ما رأيت شيئا قط أحسن منها. And this of course refutes what some people claim, that it's not permissible for people, for men to wear red, because the Prophet ﷺ wore red and he did not say anything to prohibit it. And in another report from Al-Bara also, ما رأيت من ذي لمة في حلة حمراء أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم له شعر يضرب من كبيه بعيد ما بين المنكبين لم يكن بالقصير ولا بالطويل, which means I have, it basically has the same meanings but rearranged in a different way. It says I have never seen a person with long hair wearing a red garment that looked better than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, having a hair that reaches his shoulders and the distance between his shoulders was wide, which means he had wide shoulders, and he was neither short nor tall. The fourth narration is from Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل ولا بالقصير ششن الكفين والقدمين. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was neither tall nor short. Shashnu al-kaffayni wal-qadamayn means his fingers and also his toes, the fingers on his hands and feet, which means his fingers and his toes were thick. Shashnu al-kaffayni wal-qadamayn, his hands were big. Dakhmu al-ra's, his head was big or great. Dakhmu al-karadis, and al-karadis are the ends of the bones, which means he had heavy or thick bones. طويل المسربة, طويل المسربة, it says here it is the thin hair which starts from the chest and reaches the navel. So his hair, the hair of his chest was long. طويل المسربة إذا مشى تكفأ تكفؤا كأنما ينحط من صبب. When he walked, he tilted from one side to the other, as if he is pouring down from a high place, and which means that he walks in a serious way. He doesn't walk in a lazy manner. لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله. I have never seen before him or after him anybody like him. And there are authentic reports which say, by Aisha I believe, Aisha says, I have never seen anyone who walked like Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, except, or whose walk, way of walking was like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but except his daughter Fatima رضي الله عنها. So she used to walk in a similar way to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is the fourth narration, it was from Ali radiallahu anhu. The next one, there is a very long but weak narration from Ali, so we will skip it. And was number five. Yeah, number five. And number six is also extremely weak, from Al-Hasan bin Ali. And it is even longer. So we go to the next one after that, which is from Jabir bin Samra radiallahu anhu. He said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضليع الفم أشكر العين منهوس العقب. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was ضليع الفم, his mouth was big. And أشكر العين, the slit of his eye was long. منهوس العقب, his back, his behind is small, and which means that he was not fat. In other words, he was muscular. قال شعبة قلت لسماك ما ضريع الفم. شعبة, one of the reporters, asked سماك the tabi'i, who is reporting from the Sahih from Jabir, what did he mean by ضريع الفم. He said عظيم الفم, he had large mouth or big mouth. And big mouth doesn't mean like the common term in the American slang, that big mouth means talks a lot, because this was not the description of the Prophet ﷺ. As we will see, he used to talk to the point, and his speaking was very concise and very eloquent, as we will hear about this description. قلت ما منهوس العقب. I asked him, what does منهوس العقب mean? He said, no, ما أشكل العينين. What أشكل العينين means? He said طويل شق العين, as I described, that the slit of his eye is long. المنهوس العقب قليل لحم العقب, the flesh of his behind was little, which means, as we said, that he was not carrying weight there or fat. The next one is also from Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu anhu. He said رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ليلة إضحيان. And في ليلة إضحيان, I saw Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم on a night. إضحيان means that was مقمرة, that had a full moon or a large moon that you can see around because of the light of the moon. وعليه حلة حمراء, and he was wearing a red overgarment. فجعلت أنظر إليه وإلى القمر, and I was looking at him and then at the moon. فلهو عندي أحسن من القمر, and to me he looked better than the moon. So, which means his face appeared more and better lighted than the moon itself. And Abu Ishaq said a man asked Al-Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu, أكان وجه رسول الله مثل السيف, was the face of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم like a sword? He said لا بل مثل القمر, no, but it was like the moon. And I'm not sure what exactly he meant by this, except that we know that the sword is thin and sharp and the moon is wide and has more light. So it was not like a thin and sharp looking face, but it was a full and well lighted face. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبيض كأنما صيغ من فضة من فضة رجل الشعر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was white. And what does it mean white here, when we know that he was not very light in color? It means that he had the light face that shows the glimmer and the beauty of iman on it. كَأَنَّمَا صِيغَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ, as if he was made from silver, his face. رَجِلَ الشَّعْر means his head was straight, and it doesn't mean straight like سِبْتَ الشَّعْر, and we will hear about the description of some other prophets in this regard. But it means that his hair was not messy, so it was combed and it looked good. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu described also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said عُرِضَ عَلَيَّ الْأَنْبِيَاء, the prophets were shown to me. And we don't know whether this was at the time that he made his Isra and Mi'raj or at some other time. But regardless, he said the prophets were presented to me the way they looked. فَإِذَا مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ ضَرْبٌ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالِ شَنُوءًا. And I found that Musa عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ is large among the men. He is large in size. كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالِ شَنُوءَ, as if he is from a tribe in Yemen called شَنُوءَ. And شَنُوءَ, the original meaning of it is that from شَنَآن, which means far away, distant, but it seems that that particular tribe was somewhat distant from the others, so it got its name from that. Wallahu alam. So as if he is from the men of that tribe which was known to the people, and that they were middle between heaviness and being skinny, which means they were neither skinny nor heavy, they were middle built in their size, so they were not fat, in other words. وَرَأَيْتُ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبَ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا عُرْوَةَ بْنَ مَسْعُودِ. And I saw Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and I found that the closest to him in appearance is Urwa ibn Mas'ud, one of the Sahaba that were known to the other companions that he was describing to them. And Urwa ibn Mas'ud, if you remember his story with Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, at the time of the covenant of Al-Hudaybiyah, Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was not a believer yet, and he was sent by Quraysh to make negotiations with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sat facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah standing as guard near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Urwa, Al-Mughira, no Urwa, as he was talking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would extend his hand and play with the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, you know, he's sitting very close to him and he touches his beard, you know, as a form of showing friendliness or trying to convince him with what these terms and so on. So every time he touched the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Mughira would stick him with the tip of his sword, so he would pull his hand back. And after a while, he was 2-3 times, he was very irritated, and he said, "Who's that who keeps stinging me with the tip of his sword?" And Mughira was covered, I mean, he had his face covered, no, nothing could show except his eyes. So he told him who he was, Mughira bin Shu'bah, and he was related to Urwa bin Mas'ud. And Al-Mughira, it seems, in Jahiliyyah, before Islam, before he became Muslim, he had committed lots of crimes or problems, he made lots of problems, and Urwa bin Mas'ud was taking care of settling some of his problems of Jahiliyyah. So he said, "You are doing this to me when I'm still trying to cover your awrah from Jahiliyyah." So, but Urwa bin Mas'ud later on, so he said, "Don't touch the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." But anyways, Urwa later on embraced Islam. And so he embraced Islam on the 9th year of Hijrah. And Urwa was one of the two people of whom Quraysh said, when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Why was it revealed to this man who is not of the more famous people and leaders of this area? It should have been revealed to one of the two main people of the area." And they meant one of them that they meant was Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. So Urwa embraced Islam, as we said, on the 9th year of Hijrah, which means the year of the Fatah, of the conquering of Mecca. So anyways, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them that Isa looked much like Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, that they knew him. And he was from Thaqif, which means a Ta'if. Ta'if, the town that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to invite them to Islam, they were very mean and harsh in dealing with him, and he came back without any success at that time. And I'm sure you have heard that story. So he said, وَرَأَيْتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا صَاحِبُكُمْ. And I saw Ibrahim عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, and I found that the one who is closest in appearance to him is your companion. Who is their companion? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he's saying, I found that the one among, you know, among the people, you know, I am the one who looks most similar to him, to Ibrahim. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked much like his great-grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَرَأَيْتُ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا دِحْيَا. And I saw Jibreel, and I found that the closest in appearance to him is Dihya. And Dihya, or Dihya al-Kalbi, is one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Jibreel came in the human form to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came in a form very similar to Dihya al-Kalbi. As you can tell, this hadith doesn't tell us about the shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's telling us more about other people. Why is it included here? Allahu a'lam. It's to tell us probably that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked like Ibrahim, even though we do not know how Ibrahim looked. Abu Tufail said, رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَا بَقِيَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ رَآهُ غَيْرِ. He said, I've seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and there is no one left on the surface of earth who have seen him except me. Which means that this companion Abu Tufail probably lived very long, but whether he lived to after all the Sahaba or not, we don't know. But that's what he thought, at least. So whether there's proof to the contrary, Allahu A'lam. Because there are narrations which say that other Sahaba lived the longest, like Anas bin Malik or Ibn Abbas or others. And we have to review the narrations of the books of Rijal to see who exactly lived the longest. But at least it tells that he lived very long after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Qultu, the one who is narrating from him said, Sifuli, describe him to me. Qal, kana abyada mariham muqassada. He said he was white, and we understood what white means. He was not very light in color, too light. Mariham muqassada, good in appearance or handsome, muqassada, well proportioned. Okay, now in regard to the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas radiallahu anhu said, كان شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى نصف أو أنصاف أذنيه. The hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, which means reached to the middle of his ears. So the length of his hair, how long the hair was, to the middle of the ears, which means it was long. He did not, so he let it grow so that it reached the middle of the ears. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد وكان له شعر فوق الجمة ودون الوفرة. She said, I used to take a bath together with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from the same container. In another report, she describes that we used to take water, or it means that they take the water from the same container. So they have one container and they have a cup, or they cup with their hand and take the bath together at the same time from the same container. And as I was saying in another report, she would say leave me some, don't finish the water, let keep leave some of the water for me. So she says, and his hair was more than al-jumma and less than al-wafra. And we said earlier that al-jumma means the hair that reaches to the shoulders, and al-wafra is ma jawaza shahmat al-udhun, which means the hair that reaches to the earlobe or to the middle of the ear. That is al-wafra. So his hair was between reaching the ears and reaching the shoulders, somewhere in that range. And of course, I mean, it doesn't mean, again, as I said earlier, that this is how his hair was kept all the time, because sometimes he would shave it completely, like when he went for Hajj, and sometimes his hair was long as your hand. And Hani bint Abi Talib radiallahu anha said, قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة قدمة وله أربع غدائر وفي رواية ضفائر, which means رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم once came into Mecca and he had four braids. So he even braided his hair, which means that it was the practice of the people at that time that they would, even for men, to braid their hair or to tie it together as five, as four, he had it tied as four. And it doesn't necessarily have to be braided like the women braided in our time, but it means that it was tied in four lumps, arba al ghadair. So it was it was a common thing for the people at that time to have their hair braided like that, and this was not considered something for women alone to braid their hair. So this was something specific to the people of that time. And and it doesn't mean, of course, that we take this and say, therefore, I want to braid my hair now because the Prophet ﷺ braided his hair. If one does it with that pure soul intention, he may be rewarded for it. But at the same time, one has to be careful, since this is one of his creational or personal qualities that he did not invite the people to do it, and it was a common practice of his time. One has to be careful that if we do it the same way in our time, that it could be understood as a specific character of women or singers or whatever. Contrary to the beard, for example, because the beard, he had a beard, and not only that, it was not like a personal preference of his, he also called the people to grow their beard and commanded them to grow it, and he warned against shaving it. But for the hair, for the long hair, it is a totally different story. So it is an optional thing, it's a personal preference, and this was the preference of the Prophet ﷺ combined with the normal practice of the people of his time. The next hadith or report is from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yasdilu, both of them are correct, sha'ra, which means he used to comb down his hair. Wa kana al-mushrikuna yafrikuna ru'usahum, and the mushriks, the pagans, used to split their hair. وَكَانَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ يَسْدُلُونَ رُؤُسَهُمْ, but the people of the book used to let their hair fall down straight. وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ مُوَافَقَةَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فِي مَا لَمْ يُؤْمَرْ فِيهِ بِشَيْءٍ, and he used to like to do like the people of the book as long as he is not commanded to do something different from them. ثُمَّ فَرَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَأْسَهُ, but later on he would split his hair or divide it. which means he did different from the people of the book, which happened to be like what the pagans used to do in his time, which again shows that this, first of all, this is not a matter of ibadah, it was a normal practice of their time. And secondly, he wanted, in the beginning, he was doing as much as possible, or trying as much as possible to imitate the people of the book, because they are people of book, of revelation from the heavens, whereas the pagans are idol worshippers. So it is better, of course, to be like them. But when they were stood so much against the Prophet ﷺ and for stopped imitating them, and he was rather doing things as much as possible different from them, to the extent that, as you probably have heard the hadith, and I have it in the second book of the marriage books, the marriage series, Closer Than a Garment, the hadith about the women and their menses, that, yeah, it turned to the other side. The woman in their menses, people of the book, specifically the Jews, when a woman got into her menses, they used to totally desert her and move her out of their bedrooms. Okay, so that she would have to stay by herself until she is clean. They would not eat with her, sit with her, talk to her, or anything. So, when this was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَتَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. They ask you about menses, say it is a harm, so stay away from women in, during their menses until they are clean, which means stay away from them in terms of intercourse with them until they are clean. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "If'alu kulla shay'in illa nikah," which means do everything with them and stay with them, sit with them, sleep with them, etc., except for intercourse. So when the Jews heard this, that the Prophet ﷺ said this, they said, "This man does not want to leave anything but differ from us in it," which means he wants to be different from us in every single issue. So that was the attitude of the Prophet ﷺ later on, at the later part of his stay in Al-Madinah. As for the grooming of the Prophet's grooming of his hair, ﷺ, Aisha radiallahu anha said, كنت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا حائض. I used to groom the Prophet's hair while I was in menses. So there is nothing wrong, of course, with that. And I have just finished a book about talking about menses. It's called the regulations of worship during menses. So inshallah, in about a month or so, it should be available here. And it brings all these ahadith as to what the woman can do and may do or may not do during menses. But Aisha radiallahu anha used to touch and comb the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while she was in menses. And this brings a question that I have not been able to find the answer to, which is about tarajjul. What is the meaning of tarajjul by according to their understanding? Because now in the Arabic language, when you say rajjala ra'sahu or tarajjala, it means he combed his hair. Same for the beard. But was it as simple as that? I mean, you can comb your hair, you can take a comb and just, you know, strike it on your hair and you'll be, and that's it. It wouldn't take 1 second. But it appears to me that, Allahu A'lam, from reading various narrations, that the Rajul was a more lengthy matter or practice in their time. Maybe that included cleaning the hair from dirt, from insects, you know, fleas, putting oil on it, and so on. So it could take quite a while. And that is why, in one of the narrations, Allahu A'lam, I'm saying that's what my understanding, and I have not been able to confirm it, or either way or the other. The reason I'm saying this is because the Prophet ﷺ prohibited a tarajjul for a man to make tarajjul, or I translated as groom his hair, every day. Now if you say comb his hair, I mean people sometimes do it 3-4 times a day or more. There are some people who carry the comb in their back pocket or in their front pocket, and they comb their hair at every stoplight for some reason, I don't know. So as if, you know, during that trip from one stoplight to the other, you know, the hair somehow moved about. But anyways, of course, I mean, this is excessive, but I mean, using the comb in the morning, I don't see that this is a practice that takes too much time, and that therefore the Prophet ﷺ would prohibit doing it frequently. So Allah Allah, my understanding that what he meant is something more extensive and lengthy than this, more elaborate in other words, and it's probably what I just described. So Aisha radiallahu anha said that I used to comb the hair of the Prophet ﷺ and groom it while I was in menses. And in a longer report of than this, she says, when he was in i'tikaf, in the masjid, he would bring in his head into my house, because you know, their house is adjacent to the masjid. So without leaving from the masjid to break his i'tikaf, he would stay in the masjid, leave his body in the masjid, but only put his head through the door, and she would groom his head for him while he is in i'tikaf and while she was in menses. So this is an authentic report in Bukhari. This seems to indicate that tarajjul was not just a simple matter, again, that, you know, it was, he could have done it by himself. If it is just to take a comb and just pass it through his hair quickly, he could have done it in a second. But it is something much that needs more work than that. Anas radiallahu anhu said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر دهن رأسه. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to put oil in plenty on his hair. وتسريح لحيته, and to comb his beard. ويكثر القناع. Oh, I should have read this. This is a weak hadith. Sorry. So we skip it. Putting oil, there will be more narrations inshallah to support it. Well, maybe I should read it just, you know, for the fun of it, because it's a weak hadith, and I don't think there is any authentic report to support it. It says that وَيُكْثِرُ الْقِنَاءَ, he used to put plenty, he used to always put something on his head because of how much oil he put on his hair. حَتَّى كَأَنَّ ثَوْبَهُ ثَوْبُ زَيَّةٍ, so that his clothes, because of how much oil he puts on his hair, his clothes are like the clothes of an oil merchant. So they are all spotted with oil. But as I said, this is not authentic. Aisha radiallahu anha said, إِنْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيُحِبُّ التَّيَمُّنَ فِي طُهُورِهِ إِذَا تَطَهَّرُ وَفِي تَرَجُّلِهِ إِذَا تَرَجَّلْ وَفِي انْتِعَالِهِ إِذَا انْتَعَلْ. Indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do start with the right side when he performed his wudu, or when he groomed his hair, or when he wore his shoes. He would always start with the right side first. This is the hadith that I was referring to, or one of its narrations, Abdullah ibn Mughaffal said, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الترجل إلا غبا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited ترجل, grooming the hair, except غبا, which means rarely, except إلا غبا. I mean, there's a benefit here that I've not seen it before, and this supports what I was saying earlier. This is mentioned by Sheikh Albani rahimahullah, even though, you know, I had so much arguments with some of his students about this particular issue of tarajjul, and I was saying that I don't think it's just the mere combing of the hair. So now I see that Sheikh Albani agrees with what I was saying, alhamdulillah. He says, أَيُرَجِّلَ شَعْرَهُ وَيُنَظِّفَهُ وَيُحَسِّنَهُ. It means, it includes cleaning the hair and beautifying it. So it's doing some other things besides combing it. In regard to the gray hair of the Prophet ﷺ, that we had reference to it in the very beginning. Qatada rahimahullah said, I asked Anas radiallahu anhu, هل خضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال لم يبلغ ذلك إنما كان شيبا في صدغيه ولكن أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه خضب بالحناء والكتم. He said, no, he said, did رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم dye his hair? He said, no, he did not get to that, which means he did not reach to the point where he needed to do that. It was, he only had gray hair in his temples, on his temples. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu dyed his hair with henna and katam. Henna is, you know, it is reddish in color, and katam is black in color, so they would mix them so that it gives some color in between. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu also said, ما عددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. I did not count in the head of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his beard but 14 white hairs. I mean, it's amazing that he was sitting and counting the hairs, the white hairs in the head and of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Simak bin Harb رحمه الله said, I heard Jabir bin Sabra radiallahu anhu, when he was asked about the gray hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كان إذا دهن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء وإذا لم يدهن رؤية منه شيء. He said, when he put oil on his hair, you would not see any of the gray hair, but if he did not put oil, you would see some gray hair. And in some other report from him, also from Jabir, he said, لم يكن في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيب إلا شعرات في مفرق رأسه إذا دهن وراهن الدهن. Which means there were only, there was not in the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, but a few white hairs in the place where he splits his hair, and when he puts oil, the oil would hide them. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ شَيْبُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَحْوَ مِنْ عَشْرِينَ شَعْرَةً بَيْضًا. The gray hair for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was only about 20 gray or white hairs. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, قَالَ أَبُو بَكْر يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَدْ شِبْتْ. Abu Bakr said to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, oh Rasulullah, you have become, you have gotten gray hair. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم answered him by saying, this is famous. So what was the answer? Anybody remember the answer? Yeah, exactly. So he answered him by saying, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودُ وَالْوَاقِعَةُ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتُ وَعَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. He said, What made me, what gave me, or caused me to have gray hair is Surah Hud and Surah Al-Waqi'ah and Surah Al-Mursalat and Surah Amma Yatasa'alun and Surah Idha Shamsu Kuwirat. So this tells that these surah, they have such strong meanings that if a person really understands them, they will move him, they will move his heart and his soul to the extent that, as you heard, the Prophet ﷺ got gray hair because of these surah. Abu Juhayfa said that Rasulullah ﷺ was asked, O Rasulullah, we find or we see that you have gray hair. And he answered similarly, قَدْ شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودُ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. Indeed, the Surah Hud and its sisters, the other surah which he did not mention in that case, gave me this or caused me to have this gray hair. And both of these hadith are authentic, and Sheikh Albani has discussed them in his Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahihah, hadith number 955, which would be at the end of volume 2. Abu Rimtha al-Taymi, Taym al-Rabab, said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I had with me one of my sons, a son of mine. فأريته. So I show him to him. فقلت لما رأيته فأريته, which means I was shown him, which means the people told me this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I came to him with a son of mine and I was told here that's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فقلت لما رأيته هذا نبي الله وعليه ثوبان أخضران وله شعر قد علاه الشيب وله وشيبه أحمر. He said, this is, when after he saw him, he said, this is the Prophet of Allah. He is wearing two green garments and he has hair, which means he is not bald, he has hair, and his hair is covered with, or it has on the top of it some gray, and his gray is red. What means is that from combining all of these reports, we understand a number of things. First of all, this tells us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not always cover his head, because the people were sometimes able to see his hair and the top of his hair. So that means he did not always have something covering the top of his hair. And secondly, it means that he never had too much gray hair in his head or beard or temples. It was a counted number of hairs until he died sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you heard from the report, there were like 20 hairs. Maybe there were less, more, maybe Allahu alam. But sometimes they were not visible at all. So some people would say, and there are reports actually, we did not see them here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died and he did not have even one white hair. So those other reports would mean that the people did not see them, because these other reports say that they were there, and some of the companions who were close to him saw them, and he himself declared that yes, he has gotten gray hair because of Surah Hud and the other surah. So he had some hair, but sometimes it would not be visible, some gray hair, because of the oil that he puts on his hair. So maybe the oil would cover them, or the oil would have some dye with it that would cause the hair, the grayness, to disappear. And this is referred to in the last report that you heard, that he said, Abu Ramtha, he said, وَلَهُ شَعْرٌ قَدْ عَلَهُ الشَّيْبُ وَشَيْبُ وَأَحْمَرٌ. His gray hair is red, which means that the gray hairs were dyed with some red color. Okay, another report of the same Abu Ramtha, he said, I came to the Prophet ﷺ with a son of mine and he asked me, is this your son? I said yes. He said, He said, yes, I testify that this is my son. قال لا أجني عليك ولا تجني عليه. He said, do not let him do atrocities to you, do harm to you, nor do harm to him. Which means bring him up in a good way so that he does not harm him. If you do not harm him the way you bring him up, then he will not harm you when he grows up. That's basically what he's saying. He said, وَرَأَيْتُ الشَّيْبَ أَحْمَرْ, and I saw his gray hair red in color. Time for that? Okay, so inshallah, let's see if we can stop right here. I see there's commentary on this hadith. Okay, he says, لَا يَجْنِي أَمَا إِنَّهُ لا يجني. In another report, أما إنه, this is another report from Nasai and Abu Dawood. أما إنه لا يجني عليك ولا تجني عليك عليه. ثم قرأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. So this gives the explanation, the correct explanation of it from the Quran by the words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, you do not cause harm to him, or he does not cause harm to you, because no soul will carry the burden of any other soul. And that is because the Arabs in Jahiliyyah, and probably that man was coming from Jahiliyyah to Islam, so the Arabs in Jahiliyyah used to punish a person because of a crime that was committed by one of his relatives. So it says, you do not cause harm to him, he does not cause harm to you, which means you are not responsible for the wrong that he did, he would do, and he is not responsible for the wrong that you do. There are a few other narrations, two or three more. One of them is reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He was asked, هل خضب رسول الله, did Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم dye his hair? And he said, yes. And the next one is by Anas. He said, رَأَيْتُ شَعْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَخْبُوبًا. I saw the hair of the Prophet of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم dyed. And the last one, and this is considered Hassan by Al-Albani, from Abdullah bin Muhammad bin Aqil. He said, رَأَيْتُ شَعْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم عند أنس بن مالك مخبوبا. I saw the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم at Anas bin Malik. And this at Anas bin Malik could mean that in the house of Anas bin Malik, or in the house of the family of Anas bin Malik, which is probable, because Anas, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم died, Anas was still a very young man, maybe he did not at that time reach his 20s. So it could be either in his house when he just established a house and a family, or else it could be in the house of his mother, Sulaim, who was one of the close Sahabiya to the Prophet ﷺ, and he used to visit her house, the house of Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu, frequently. So it could be that he saw him there, but either way, he said, I saw the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Anas bin Malik, and it was dyed. It was dyed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hair. So they are talking about the hair. Basically, the hair means normally the head, the hair of the head, and this conforms with the other reports of Abu Ramsa that we heard earlier. Now here, there is a footnote to say that An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, what we agree or accept is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dye his hair sometimes. This is indicated by the hadith of Ibn Umar in the Bukhari and Muslim. But he did not do it most of the time. So sometimes he dyed his hair, most of the time he did not. So each one's told of what he saw, and each one is truthful, which means each of the reporters is truthful. Some people say he did not die because they saw him without his hair being dyed. The others saw him dyed, and that depends on the situation and the time. As for the hadith of Anas, he says, Al-Albani now says, it is authentic, but it seems to disagree with what he reported earlier, that he saw the hair of the Prophet ﷺ and had about 10 or 14 or whatever, 14 or 20 white hairs, which means it was not dyed. So now he's saying that he saw it dyed. Or else his other hadith in which he says, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمْ يَخْضُبْ قَطْ. He never dyed his hair. That's what Anas reported in another authentic report from him. إِنَّمَا كَانَ الْبَيَاضُ فِي مُقَدِّمَ لِحْيَتِهِ فِي الْعَنْفَقَةِ قَلِيلًا. The white hair was only in the front of his beard, a little bit in al-anfaqa. And al-anfaqa is this little hair which grows right under the mouth and above the beard. So this is called anfaqa, and it's part of the beard. So he says, I only saw few white hairs in his anfaqa here. وَفِي الرَّأْسِ نُبَذٌ يَسِيرٌ لَا يَكَادُ يُرَى. And also in his head, some very little sparse white hairs that can almost, or it is almost hard to see. This is recorded by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Sa'd, and it is authentic as verified by Al-Hafiz in Fath al-Bani and by Al-Bani here. So how can we understand this and his statement in this other hadith in which he says that he saw the hair of Rasulullah dyed, and this is recorded by Tirmidhi? So he says, Al-Bani says, the answer is what Ibn Aqil himself said, and Ibn Aqil is a Sahabi. He said, قَدِمَ أَنَسُ بْنُ مَالِكَ الْمَدِينَةِ وَعُمَرُ بْنُ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ وَالِيهَا فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ عُمَرْ وَقَالْ بالرسول وقال للرسول سلوى الخضر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإني رأيت شعرا من شعره قد لون. Anas came to Al-Madinah at one point when Umar bin Abdul Aziz was the commander, the person who is placed in charge of Medina, and that was much before he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen or the Khalifa. So Umar sent to him a messenger, and he asked him, Umar bin Abdul Aziz sent a messenger to Anas bin Malik when he came to Al-Madinah as a Sahabi. He wanted to learn from him. Umar bin Abdul Aziz is a Tabi'i, he learns from the Sahaba. So he sent to him a messenger, an envoy, and he said, the envoy, ask Anas, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dye his hair? Because I saw some of his hair and it is colored. Seems that some hair of the Prophet ﷺ was left after he died ﷺ. It was with someone, like it was some of the hair that he cut or something like that, or fell off his hair, off his head. So they had a few hairs from his head, from his hair, after he died ﷺ. And Umar saw those hairs, and they seemed to be colored, so they were not white, they were not black, they were colored with something like a red color. So Anas said, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ قَدْ مُتِّعَ بِالسَّوَادِ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was granted black hair, which means he did not get gray hair even though he reached 63 years of age. لو عددت ما أقبل من شيبه في رأسي ولحيته ما كنت أزيدهن على إحدى عشرة شيبة. If I were to count what has appeared of gray hair in his head and beard, I would not have been able to count more than 11 hairs. وإنما هذا الذي لون من الطيب الذي كان يطيب شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this coloring that you saw was only of the perfume, of the oil that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to use as a perfume in his hair. So this hadith is recorded by Al-Hakim and it is authentic, as Sheikh Al-Bani rahimahullah agrees. So this may be understood that the dyeing that is mentioned by Anas or some others in some of the reports is not the actual dyeing of Hinna, but it's actually some perfume that had some color that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on his hair. And you know that now there are some perfumes that have color, like the black musk and some other perfumes that do have some color in them. Now he adds to this, Al-Albani rahimahullah adds to this that however, even though Anas denies that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used any kind of dye except the perfume, the dye that comes with the perfume, but there are authentic reports from Umm Salama saying that he used Hinna and Katam. Hinna, you know Hinna, and Katam, we said it's a black dye, so they use them together to get a color which is halfway in between. And Umm Salama said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did dye with this kind of dye. So in this case, when somebody denies something and somebody affirms it, the rule is that the affirming, or the one who affirms his report or his words, take precedence over the one who denies. Why? Because the one who denies, he doesn't have a knowledge of that. He says, I never saw him dying. But somebody comes and says, I have seen him dying, and both of them are truthful. That doesn't mean that he never died, it means that Anas never saw him, that's it. But Salama did see him, and as we said earlier, some people saw him sometimes, and sometimes they did not see him. So maybe most of the time he did not dye his hair, but sometimes he did. And that is what Salama saw, and Anas saw the rest of the times, which are the most frequent for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's basically the discussion of the appearance or the, as we called it yesterday, the creational characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or as they call it in Arabic, as-sifatul khalqiyya, as-sifatul khalqiyya li rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can try to summarize them on the boards as follows. Marker is not here. Okay, we write with the magic marker now, and inshallah the magic ink that nobody can see, and later on you can mark it. Okay, the how about these markers that were here? They're all right. Okay. We in summary, we learned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was neither tall nor short. He was of medium build. And he was not of heavy weight. His hair was black except for a few white hairs that he dyed them sometimes, but most of the time he did not dye them. And his body was muscular. It did not have fat on it, and that is shown by the little flesh that he had on the lower hips. And he had the ends of his bones were thick, so his body had the thick bones. And what else? His skin was neither too dark nor too light. His face was white and shiny like the full moon. Anything else? His eyes were the slit of his eyes was long, and his mouth was big. The distance between his shoulders was long, which means he had wide chest. His beard, we did not mention this, maybe in the other book we can find something about it, but he is described in authentic reports that he had a great beard. So that's basically the description. كان عنده لحية عظيمة. As for the exact length and breadth, I don't think there are any reports to tell us to indicate exactly this. Anything else? Okay, yeah. Also, he had long hair on his chest, down to his navel. The hair that comes, it grows on the chest, up down to the navel, was long. And he used to walk. This also, we'll talk more about some of his actions, but we mentioned this earlier. He used to walk by tilting from one side to the other as he walked. So the walk of a serious walker, not the walk of a lazy walker. Alaykum as-salam. Okay, some more of these qualities will probably be, we will probably see them later on, inshallah, after we cover as much as possible of this book. So this basically covers the qualities, the creational qualities or attributes or description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes. Yeah, that also we mentioned, jazakallah khair, about the length of his hair, that sometimes mostly he had long, very long hair, and sometimes it would reach the middle of his ears or the edge of his earlobes, or sometimes would go even all the way down to his shoulders. And he sometimes tied the hair into braids, or is there a better word than braids? Bunches. Like when he entered Mecca, he had his hair tied into four bunches. His palms and his hands and his fingers and his toes were thick. Yeah, I just mentioned it, that he had smaller hips. He did not have too much flesh here, which means he was not fat in the lower body, and he had, on the contrary, he had wide shoulders or chest, so that means that he had the appearance, the muscular appearance of a man.
If somebody has long hair, what they're putting in must be fair.
Okay, that's beside the subject. I'll answer it, inshallah, if there are no more things that have to do with the attributes or the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. About the hair, if one has a long hair, what to do with it when praying? There is an authentic hadith which says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an kaffi shari wa thawbi fi salah, that he prohibited tying the hair and the clothes during the prayer. This should be understood to mean those whose practice is to not tie their hair or their clothes. If when they come to the prayer they tie them, this is prohibited. But if it is something that is tied anyways, like for example, this is tied here, okay, the cuffs of your shirt. If you normally tie them, then in the prayer you do not have to untie them. But if your practice is to untie them and you tie them for the sake of the prayer, this is prohibited. Similarly for the hair. If somebody has his hair neatly tied, whether it's in the prayer or outside the prayer, that's okay. But if he ties it for the sake of the prayer because he does not want it to fall on the ground while he's praying, this is not allowed. Because then the hair should make sujood with the rest of the body and the limbs that make sujood. Allahu anhu. Wa yeah. Okay. Okay, now we are ready to come to the next part of the discussion, which is about some of the personal actions of the Prophet ﷺ.